Downtime and shenanigans.
Welcome, Downtime and Shenanigans. Fans.
You know you're all fans.
I'm totally leaving it in just like that. That's going to be the intro.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are the Archetypes of Entropy, and this is Season 2, Episode 14. And I have the same three we had last time, John and Jilly and MJ. MJ is back.
Hey.
Oh my God. So MJ, we didn't get a chance to properly bant with you up top just because I was leaving you as a surprise.
No, I enjoyed it.
Even though clever listeners will know that we've referred to you a bunch of times saying, it depends on whatever MJ's doing. And we figured out what that was. We went back and forth a bunch of times in the interim when we could find the time to actually talk about it. And decide, like, okay, what's this going to be? Are you going to be sharing a body? Are you going to be two different people, kind of quantum entangled into each other? And I think we found I think we just kind of landed on a happy medium.
Yeah, agreed.
Just because going back and listening to you know, the episodes as we've been working on them, Zemgus's face was barely described on purpose.
I noticed.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, kind of nondescript and hidden. And then I've been going around in the back of, you know, deciding who Zemgus is or was, or is he from an ancient time, or is he just another guy? And the answer to that question is yes and no, and maybe all of those things. I tend not to tamp down on a definitive anything whenever I can, because my brain will make it law, and it will get in the way of this being fun. It's something I learned through Season 1, is that every time I had written down a thing that, no, this is what it is, and I had to try to shoehorn it into whatever we were doing, it didn't help. And there was a lot of meandering that happened in Season 1 because of it. So I keep stuff loose. By design, it's a loosey-goosey kind of a story. It's your story. You're in charge of it. You decide, you know, where things go. So how'd you guys feel about how the job ended?
Poignant. Beautiful.
We lived.
I enjoyed it, and I didn't even really know what the heck was going on.
Well, we don't either.
No one knows.
Yeah, and this is another thing. This little kind of a midpoint will maybe give us an opportunity for you guys to get to know each other a little. And obviously, once we throw Scott back into the mix, which it will, God willing, in the Creek Don't Rise, will be the next time we record, because I really I need to get him back into this, just because there, you know, you didn't have that devil on your shoulder that you usually have with him.
Are you saying we solved the plot too easily?
No. God, nothing was easy in that.
That we have solved.
No, you guys rolled with it in every way you could. And I honestly don't know what Doc would have done really, really differently. And who knows? But at the same time, he had to get away from something. But anyway, enough about him. Let's talk about you guys. Things finished up relatively fine. You wound up delivering the box to ATE, and you got, and you know, they're paying you in full for the job. And yeah, some of you have traumas now. The ship is a little banged up. Zemgus is now a different person. So long and short is, you completed the job, and it was successful. So congratulations. So before we get into downtime proper, let's talk about experience points. Alrighty, so
it's the best kind of points.
Let's start with Remy. Start with Captain Remy Moreau, and we'll go down your list here and see what we got here.
Yeah.
And we will go down to your XP triggers.
Mm-hmm.
You addressed a tough challenge with charm or audacity.
I would say audacity. I mean, the sheer audacity of just merging Johnny Pilot with Mika's spouse. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Can you name another specific instance of charm or audacity? I will name, because I've listened to these a lot more recently than you recorded them.
Oh, okay.
I will mark two for that, because your exchanges with Umir Graydon I thought was very, very guy. And all your conversations with Captain Kath and the Star Stepper. I'll give you two for that.
Thank you.
You expressed your beliefs, drives, heritage, and background.
I mean, every day you don't everything you walk away from.
You had a brief moment of kind of iciness with Zemgus when he was just absentmindedly in your brain.
Then
he said, he said something to the effect of, your aversion to the warp, I can fix it.
Yes. And I was like,
oh no, he didn't. So I think that definitely came into play.
Thank you.
I think just the continuation of everything that's kind of left since you went quote unquote home briefly. Yeah, I'll give you another two for those because that came up a couple of times.
Yay.
Struggle with issues of your vice or traumas. I would say at this point, I mean, I don't know how much your kind of urge to gamble came into play.
No, not really.
They're traumas as of yet, but yeah, okay. So I think you got the four and you can put those wherever you wish.
Could the move to merge Johnny and Faust be a gamble?
I think that was you got the one for the audacity.
Gambling implies that you might know the outcome of your actions.
It's not a risk necessarily.
Yeah. Okay, Tristan Obadiah.
Oh dear.
Okay, here we go. You addressed a tough challenge with technical skill or ingenuity. I'm going to give you two. Yes. Because you probably did it about six times.
Sure did it a lot.
You expressed your beliefs, drive, heritage, or background.
Planets are gross.
Spacer kid did space.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll give you one for that. Do you think of anything else that might have come up as far as... For this especially, I'll give you another one because you kind of demonstrated your moral center when you were like, look, I don't care if nobody pays us, we need to destroy this thing, as it was.
Yeah.
When it was a crazy AI trying to kill you, you were willing to forego all the money just to not deal with this thing. So that's definitely... struggled with issues from your vice or traumas. You got a trauma.
Yep.
So I will give you one for that.
Yay!
I will give you one for developing a trauma. I think
everything is awful.
Alrighty. I'm looking here, and it looks like you have filled up your playbook.
I did. I'm gonna buy a new special ability.
What's that special ability, John?
Mechanic's Heart
is a special ability. When you speak from your heart, your words can reach even the most hardened criminal, and you gain potency.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
That is such a crazy special ability, but like it totally fits your character and the way you're playing.
It does,
for sure.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like you were, that's where you were kind of pointing yourself.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Khalees Han. Granted, this is your first session and you weren't here for most of it, but how we handle this up to this point is we have progressed your character with essentially equivalent XP that Rick has earned up to this point. So you're starting kind of where he was. But this point and on, you're just going to be earning your own XP when you play.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's check your tracker here. You addressed a tough challenge with force or threats. I would say...
save my bacon.
I'll give you one for using your raw strength to avoid harm and help Remy. Express beliefs, drives, heritage, or background. Your background definitely came into play.
Yeah.
Because of your background with the Lancer Syndicate and having a unexpected ally all of a sudden to kind of ease you into this weird situation. Yeah. I'm trying to... Do you think of any other instances of that? I'll give you another one for your general just kind of demeanor reacting to this ridiculous situation you found yourself in with sheer, like, kind of snark and grim optimism. I feel like that's a thing, so yeah, I'll give you that.
Cool.
And I'll give you another one because you're struggling with issues due to the fact that you are now here. I'll call that kind of a vice and trauma kind of thing. So there. So you can go ahead and you can mark those XP wherever you wish. Since we've not met your character before, let's take a minute and just kind of talk about your character. You are the playbook Muscle.
Yep.
Badass with any weapon.
We'll see.
You have a few different special abilities.
Yep.
Leah, tell us about your special abilities.
So you did see one of them last
yep,
time.
Yep, you saw Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. I can perform a feat of physical force that verges on the superhuman. Well, again, we'll see if that's accurate or not. Wrecking Crew, which will hopefully aid us in some combat situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get plus one in striking a melee, and whenever you spend a gambit in combat, you also get potency on that, which is huge.
Ooh.
You get both things from gambit, so that's huge.
Yeah.
And you have Battleborn. You can use special armor to reduce harm or to push yourself. It's the muscle slash cutter playbook is, you know, you got to be a badass in a fight. You have a series of signature weapons, and they all have names. Did you rename these, or are you going to wait until they kind of come into play, or just use the names they have?
Renamed one, I'll probably rename the other.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I did was I just kind of had you come in with a normal load if you needed equipment or so you were going to have. When you are in charge, you have your equipment. When Zemkis is in charge, he has his equipment. The artifact is always with you, but you can't use it or take it off wherever it happens to be. It's just there, like that bracelet. If you go to take it off, you can't take it off.
Right.
If it's on your leg, it's on your leg. If it's around your neck, it's around your neck. There's nothing you can do about it. Whenever Zemkis uses it, he uses the last, but that's fine.
I can't wait to see which body part it's on when I...
Yeah. Plus, you might want to, you know, you have some clothes of your own around just to wake up in those fucking robes.
Yeah, I got to get rid of these robes.
They'll just keep coming back. But yeah, that's just fun. Okay. What do you want to reveal about your character at this point? You don't have to reveal anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more fun to do it in play. Okay. But
that's
I don't really know what I look like. Something that when I put regular clothes on, I think you get more of a glimpse of, you know, physically I actually appear to be and look like, so.
All right, cool. Okay, so for now, Cal is in the driver's seat of this person. Alrighty, so let's get into the whole reason we're here. Payoff, downtime, heat, all that stuff, all that fun stuff. So, entering downtime as we are, we go to the first section of downtime, which is payoff and upkeep. So, you guys will be paid by ATE to the tune of 7 cred.
Wow.
So, how that generally works is anyone, including the ship, can carry 4 cred on them. That's kind of the max you can kind of have on you. And the rest you'll spend or sock away into your stash. Your stash is kind of represents your ultimate goal of what your life will be when you retire from this whole thing. So you get 7 to distribute amongst yourselves however you wish, keeping in mind that right now your upkeep of the ship is 1. If you pay that, you will still have 6 cred between all of you, and you guys can divide that up however you wish.
I mean, yes, let's put 1 into the ship and then 1 cred for each of us.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. And, okay, so 1 cred for... I'm assuming we'll hold Zemgus's. Yeah, right? Because there's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah. Okay. I'll throw a cred on Zemgus's thing. Oh, God. I'm sorry, I forgot. We forgot to do the most important XP of all.
The ship XP?
We got the crew XP. Oh my god. Okay, so we'll get back to that. So the Steadfast. The last time we did XP, you guys actually got problem solvers, the special ability. So you have 1 crew XP right now in your tracker. So. I'll give you 1 for you executed a successful transport and smuggle operation. Contented with challenges above your current station? I will say that I'll give you 2 for that because stuff just kept coming up.
artificial reincarnation of the corporate money bags. Yeah, I think that's above our station.
Bolster your crew's reputation or develop a new one. So your reputation, starting this, is strange. I feel like...
I think we just played into our strengths there.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely, just because of the nature of this whole thing, definitely, yeah, I'll throw you one for that too, because everything was strange. Express the goals, drives, inner conflict, and essential nature of the crew. I will throw a special one for realizing that you have a 2-for-1 person on your ship. And I don't know, anyone want to make a play for an additional one?
Nah, we all have Johnny Pilots, so.
Alrighty, so you guys are 2 away from another advance.
Nice.
Alrighty, so back to downtime. Okay, so we did your payout and upkeep. Okay, so now let's talk about heat. So the way it's handled in this game is your heat is tracked in different systems. For this particular job, it's hard to qualify which system you are in the most, just because I feel like there was a third of this in possibility, and a third of this seemed to be like in hyperspace, and a third of this seemed to be in Verada. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm gonna kind of split it up. I'm going to call this 4 heat. Because loud and chaotic, high exposure, a lot of crazy stuff happened. And more people than you probably would normally be comfortable with kind of knew about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do an additional for high profile or well-connected target, because everyone you were kind of involved with. But I'm not going to dump them all in one system.
Okay. That's
good. I'm going to put 2 in possibility, and I'm going to put the other 3 in Verada. Just because that's where it all kind of wound up. So, as of right now, you have 1 heat in Venture. You have no heat in Terang, which is kind of your home area anyway. 3 in Verada and 4 in Possibility. So, that's the heat situation. So, we're going with heat. And let's go to entanglements. Alrighty. You are wanted level 0.
Yay!
So since the GM rolls a die, but I never roll dice, I always have you guys roll dice. So who wants to roll your entanglement die?
Not me.
Muffin!
All right,
Muffin.
1d6. 6?
6. Okay, roll again. Rolling on the wanted one table now.
No.
4.
Okay. I'm going to give you a -1 with Martell and Associates. And that would probably not have been a -1 unless you rolled this specific entanglement. Mm-hmm. What -1 status means is that the faction will seek chances to cause trouble for you as long as it has no significant cost for them.
Oh.
You have now have a -1 with Breadbasket, you have a -1 with Mortel.
All right.
So I think that is sufficient. Now that we have handled that, we will go into downtime activities. Who wants to go first?
Let's roll for it.
Yeah, let's roll off.
Love okay.
Right. Roll off.
We're going to roll for initiative.
How do you do that?
No, you don't. You just roll a die, whoever gets the highest. There's no initiative in this game.
6.
Okay.
I get a 1.
3.
All right, Muffin, you're going first.
Well, my downtimes are actually super simple. I figured. Time doctor.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have this shocked. Apparently, I have a concussion.
Yeah, you got knocked around a bunch on this one.
Yeah, it's time okay. So it's roll crew quality -1.
So yeah, when you take the action, first thing that happens is you'll get ready for your level 1 harm.
Uh huh. I lose my level 1 harm, and then the level 2 harm. I roll crew quality -1 to fill a healing clock.
Okay, what I'll do is between these jobs, you will reconnect with Doc Chiefs. So I will allow you to roll a doctor roll for him. His doctor is 2, so you can go ahead and roll a...
What's our crew quality?
Your crew quality is 0.
Oh, well, that's not great. Okay, I guess the doc is looking at me.
Yeah.
I just want to make it clear that story-wise, this is not Tristan's first option. The doc is super creepy.
Oh, yeah. No. You could certainly chance it the other way, too.
No, he's not going to chance it because he also wants to not die. But, for the purposes of the narrative, this is not his first choice.
Yeah. Understandable.
All right, so okay. How many dice am I rolling?
You are rolling two dice.
Two and a four. So it looks like I fill two segments on that clock.
I'm sorry. You add plus one die to your roll when you list a crew member to help. So go ahead and roll another die. See if you, it just says.
Well, that other die was a one, so.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, so you'll
take two. But then I will spend my second sound time actually doing the same thing.
Okay.
So.
I guess we'll do that right now.
Yeah.
You have cred as well, so.
Oh, I got a six.
Yay.
Okay, so six will fill another three. And you do always have the option to spend a cred to either take another downtime action or move up the effect of a downtime roll.
Oh, well, I'll spend that cred to fill that clock then.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so while this is going on, you will reconnect with Doc Cheeves at some point during this. He will kind of elucidate you a little bit as to why he left, and that was because he will just basically say that he had previous professional relationship with Dr. Ferris. They had some strong differences in opinion, and he thought his participation in this job would not help you in any way. Then mumble something about another, you know, sanctimonious do-gooder, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he really, really, really just cannot abide do-gooders. But I'll not reveal anything else because I don't think he would. And he's not here, but that was his reason for ducking out.
Yeah.
He didn't want to make things difficult. Plus, he might have gone off and had some other adventures while this was going on. Who knows?
All right.
But okay, so we'll resolve those couple downtime actions for you. You are all healed up. Let's go to Remy. What would you like to do?
So, yeah, I would like to take care of this nasty little gremlin bite I have.
Okay, well, the good news is if you take the recovery action,
I will.
You will get rid of your level one harm.
Yay!
So that's the good news about how it works. I think you get rid of all of them, actually.
Oh, neat.
Right? You clear your level one harm.
Yay.
So, let me ask you this. Did you go see the doc for this, or...
YOLO. Yeah, so...
Yeah. You don't have to, because you weren't relying on a roll, so you did not have to see the doc. You could have gone somewhere else.
You know what? I think it's more fun if Remy does.
Okay.
It's like, you know, the doc could, you know, just put windshield wiper fluid in Remy's veins, and all of a sudden, there could be mutations going on. Anywho.
Let's move over to Han. What would you like to do for your downtime action?
Let's see. I guess I'll find a rave or something.
Well, let me ask, how much stress did you...
I have four.
Oh, you spent four. Okay. Okay. Yeah, your vice is pleasure, so how will that manifest?
Yeah, I mean, I want to find the best party. Well, no, not the best. Probably the most dangerous party in town.
Okay. For right now, you guys have been taking your downtime generally on Swampfoot, but you're not pinned down to any one location. This is, you know, the nebulous amount of time between jobs. But I believe you have a history with Swampfoot.
I do. Do indeed.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
Probably been a couple of years since I've really been here. But...
Yeah, that's true, because you were running around doing Lancer stuff. And alrighty, there is a spot on Swampfoot. It's in a very, very old. You know what? I'll ask you. I don't know why you're doing world building stuff. You're here. You have hardly done any. So tell me about where you go, and tell me about this party.
Swampfoot. I'm thinking. So I will liken it to the newest. I think it's the newest. Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon. Has anybody seen this yet?
I have not, but it's in France, right?
France. So there's this underground sort of cabaret-esque, burlesque pleasure den that exists, of course, because...
Okay.
I think it's probably something like that. I believe it's in this sort of burned out underground facility that used to be used for, I'm assuming, like scientific or...
Okay, that's what like an old corporate science facility or something.
So the remnants of that are still there, but inside is this very colorful, very alive, very liberal-minded sort of club, cabaret, location with lots of loud music, lots of crazy lights and drugs and what have you. People dancing. Right.
What is this place called?
Oh, this place is called, let's see, Swampfoot. Let's call it we'll call it the Muck. Why not?
The Muck. I love it. I love it.
Woo!
For anybody in Rochester, that's for you.
Yes, this is an inside Rochester theater scene thing. So probably most of the people who actually listen to this podcast will know it.
But it's spelled M-U-C-K.
Who knows? It's spelled M-U-C-K. Okay. If you're not from Rochester, look at the Multi-Use Community Cultural Center. That's where a lot of cool stuff happens. Anyway.
And especially if you are from Rochester and don't know what Muck is, do look that up.
Do look that up, because that's where all the cool stuff happens.
Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah. So you find yourself at the Muck, and occasionally you'll see a face that you somewhat recognize, and they'll kind of recognize you back through the haze of whatever strange substances are wafting through the air and writhing bodies of all various shapes and sizes and sorts of beings. And yeah, you will go ahead and cut it up for the first time. And God only knows how long.
Too long.
So I would like you to make me okay, so that's going to be your insight. So you're going to roll one die.
Oh yeah, I'm good at this.
And you want to get four or less.
All right, well, I got a 3.
Okay, good. So that will cut 3. You will not overindulge. Basically, your stress is down to 1. If you overindulge, something happens.
If I roll again, I want to overindulge.
You really don't. Because I'm not going to allow you to disappear because you just got here. So it's going to wind up costing you something.
Okay, never mind then. 3's good then. I'll take the 3.
Okay. I am going to go back around to Tristan again to see if he wants to spend a cred to do any additional other downtime actions.
No, I don't need to do another action.
Okay. We'll go back to Remy then.
Yeah, I have a bunch of stress, and I would like to relieve it.
Okay, great. So, tell me about your stress relief situation.
Well, my vice, predictably, is gambling. So, you know, on Swampfoot, also, yes, we could have a big dinner, but a big dinner is boring. So, I'm going to go out and find, a card game.
Okay, alrighty. So, you will wind up at the same bar you guys always wind up on at the Silent Alarm, because there are other places. So there is, yeah. Well, tell me about a gambling house on Swampfoot.
It is one of those invite-only, like, basement gambling establishments. It's a couple of rooms down the back stairwell of a regular concert venue. Hamster racing.
Hamster racing, okay.
Hamster racing.
Shit, there we go.
But, you know, in space everything's bigger, so they're giant hamsters. Kind of like capybaras, and they basically have little robot jockeys.
Okay.
Off the back alleyway, there's an entrance. You go down. It's just a couple of rooms. And yeah, there's some robot dealers. And you can set yourself up you can set yourself up with a nice table. It's a pretty high stakes situation. And Remy's come flush before. So they got an invite back. And, you know, just by Swampfoot standards, finely decorated, meaning, you know, the stuff isn't wet. You know, nice table, comfortable seating, darkly lit, bright light over the table, and yeah, they're just going to sit down and hopefully have a run of good luck.
And so, I'm sorry, is there a name of this place, or is it just the hamster races?
The giant wheel.
The giant wheel, okay.
Because that's how they race them, you see. They put them on the giant
wheel. Right, of course.
Also, the Wheel of Fortune.
Ooh, I like that. The giant wheel of fortune.
Alrighty, so go ahead and you are going to roll your... Yeah, you're going to roll your insight, so one die.
I got 5.
Alright, so you reduce 5 stress. I'll go ahead and mark that up. Alright, you're down to just 1 lone stress.
Yay!
Okay, you guys are looking good on stress because I think Zemgus and Tristan... Yeah, Tristan has 2. Zemgus has none, because the last thing he did was stress out, so. you guys are in good shape for whatever happens next, stress-wise. Okay, let's go over to Cal. What would you like to do for your second downtime action?
I think I'll train.
Okay, that's not a bad idea. The Steadfast has a insight training module, so you will get 2-for-1 on insight if you want to train that, but not, you will get an XP in whatever you want.
So I'm going to go play the...
Okay.
And my training probably looks like... I'm probably doing things that are more things to do with like ducking, weaving, dodging sort of stuff.
So you know a place, I'll throw this out there. I'll not make you guys make up everything today. There is a training gym that a lot of bounty hunters, mercs, and muscle hang out. It is a place that is basically just kind of purely for training. So there is a very, very strict policy against gambling here because they find that gambling doesn't encourage people to better themselves. It just makes them take shortcuts and cheat. The gym, it's called, I'm going to call it Manny's.
Got it.
And it is run by a... yes. Okay. I have a thing here. I have a note here. From world building. It says elephants ? So there's a race here that is kind of elephant-like. They're very large, you know, on average about like 7 to 8 feet tall, weigh, you know, 600 to 800 pounds, very, very large, but they're very muscular. They have elephant-like trunks, but they have like regular ears. Manny is the guy who runs this gym. He's an old like ex-merc, and he's very, very much clings to a code of like, this is purely just for self-improvement, and the better you are, the safer you can keep yourself. It is also a good place to go and get, like, you know, gossip about, you know, stuff that might be going on in the merc sphere. So when you go there, you'll be training, lifting, and punching stuff, and, like, you know, sparring with folks, and,
Cal Hart, been a minute.
Manny, how you been? How you living?
You know, just trying to keep the rabble in check. Making sure that, you know, people are up doing their best. It's more of the same.
That's a hefty job.
You still with the Lancers?
Sorta. You know me. Always flitting about.
You've been missing for a while. I haven't seen you here in a while.
Yeah. Been a minute, yeah.
Well, you running with the crew now, or...?
Sorta.
Interesting jewelry. What is that? Never seen that before.
You know, it was a gift from a friend.
Ah, friend, huh?
Don't really know where it's from, but fancy, eh?
That is, yeah, it is unusual. It's, anyway, none of my business, really. Same old here. A lot of business, a lot of corps hiring out different unsavory types.
The usual.
Yeah, but, I gotta tell you, a lot of talk amongst pirates. I don't know, some big to-do going on. You think Rain's making some kind of move?
No. Really?
I mean, he hasn't been real public in a long time, but they say they've seen the wolf on the outskirts. Pretty much every system at this point. I hear stories, but, say he's looking for something. I don't know. It's always trouble when he stirs up. He gets the other pirates all wound up.
I mean, they're a pretty, sturdy bunch, so it doesn't happen much.
No, I mean... I wasn't even sure if he was still in the sector, to be honest. But, just keep your eye out. Be careful.
Yeah, you too. Let me know if you hear more.
Yeah. No, we'll do. We'll do. Good to see you. Good to see you.
I'll be back. I mean, as long as I'm here.
All right. Well, keep up. Looking good.
Thanks.
Okay. Does anybody have any additional downtime actions they would like to take?
I'm good.
Pretty good.
Okay. Alrighty, so we will cut over to a brief scene here before we mosey on out of here. You guys will find yourself back at the Silent Alarm. You are all together. The three of you are all together just kind of checking in.
You two are looking better than last I saw you.
Oh, it's been a good day. It's been a good few days.
It's amazing what a nice long nap and a warm bath can do for the soul, as they're putting away crud chips in their van.
Yeah.
And we don't have a crazy AI on our ship.
That's good news. Maybe we could get some guns, though. What about guns? Come on.
I don't mind.
I wouldn't know how to use them, but I can't discount the utility of them. I don't mean to be rude or presumptuous, but it looks like you're staying on. But where did Zero go, and how are you and he connected?
Well, I'll stay on if you'll have me for now.
I mean, you are a deft hand, especially in a scrap with gravity.
Thanks. I'm also good with some other scraps, too. Looks like you might need that sort of thing.
Honestly, it's a big old oversight in the makeup of this crew. Yeah.
I mean, again, none of us are objected to having you around, but we're just wondering what happened to Zero, right?
Where did you come from and where's Zero?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know Zero. I don't know any Zero. I've never met this fella. I don't know.
First, Zero was there, and then you were there. So it's like you swapped with him.
Zero sort of threw back his hood, and there you were. I just thought they were old fairy tales of, you know, quantum entanglement and two people being kind of woven together by fate and able to sort of flop places.
That sounds really confusing and complicated.
It is, and it's like an old religious story that I don't truck with much anymore, but like, what's the last thing you remember? Like,
I'll remember being outside, bit of sunlight, seeing a big machine transport, and I was there, or, you know, on the freighter.
And you knew Captain Kisses?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we ran in the same circles a bit ago. I really don't know. I mean...
You don't look like Zero.
That's good, I think.
I think. Did we ever see Zero?
Yeah, you've seen him. Like I said, it's the face is not dissimilar. It's just... There are qualities to it that, you know, he seemed very much more nondescript. It was like a more nondescript version of this face without the translucence or the eyes. But he was almost always like hooded up. Even when he had the hood there, you know, just, I don't know. It's kind of the same face, but kind of not. It's odd.
I guess the real question is, are you going to become another person?
Or are we going to see Zero again?
Well, in a matter of speaking, I could become another person, but that's just a whole different thing. As for Zero, I don't know. Maybe he's in them robes? I did save them, wanted to burn them, but figured probably not a good idea.
I mean, they do need a good wash. I mean, yes, I'm with you on the burning them.
But wash them.
Yeah, maybe he'll come out in the wash or something.
Yeah, just sort of fall out.
Yeah.
Like loose cred. All right. Well... Welcome aboard, Cal, is it?
Cal it is, yeah.
Oh, I'm Remy, this is Tristan.
Hello.
They call me Hallie, I call him Muffin, but he's kind of growing out of that nickname.
I think croissant's better anyway.
That was classy. Croissant.
I know, right? And you're kind of a little kiwi, so it works.
Ain't you though?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what are we doing? We don't have a job lined up.
Let's find one.
And at this point, a figure appears at your booth. You see rather sketchy-looking gentleman. He is wearing kind of mismatched set of clothes. The base of his outfit is like an old league-style vac suit, but he is also wearing like coveralls that you would find on like a trade guild freighter. Over that is a long, dark leather trench coat that with this like red and black piping up the side, very kind of Blade Runner-esque looking thing. He has his hair up in like a raggedy top knot and a huge scar running down the side of his face, like all the way down to the neck. Also, that scar goes over a spot where there was once an eye and now just a big cybernetic lens. He just kind of hovers in place and sets down a data tablet.
Or the job will find us.
And looks over at you, Remy, and just goes, "That's for you." And then before you can even ask him who he is or say anything, he turns right around and leaves. This is, without a doubt, a pirate. This guy screams pirate.
Tristan immediately begins looking around as if expecting there are like a dozen other pirates just waiting to shoot us.
There could be, but it's really, really hard to tell in this place, you know, because it's all dark and smoky and shadowy. It's Swampfoot. You know what there are. Whether they have anything to do with this, who knows. But as you're sitting there in the booth, you look at this data pad, and before you even have a chance to pick it up, it like springs to life. The screen turns on, and there is a face there. You see a metal wolf face. You can see long black hair kind of coming off to the side, and a voice says,
"Steadfast. This is Captain Rain. I have a job for you."
And we'll cut it there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How do you spell Rain in this case?
R-A-I-N.
Okay.
Like the magic wolf. Anyway.
like the magic wolf.
Now we've seen them all. All the PCs from season one. Yeah, so the mysterious pirate captain, Captain Rain, is somehow you've caught his attention.
Nice.
That's not great. I think we're going to need those guns sooner rather than later.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with some pirates.
It's true.
That guns can't fix.
Alrighty, so we will hopefully be able to slide Doc Cheeves into this scene when we pick up in 2 weeks. But until then, we'll see ya
later, all.
Cheers, everybody.